We've been these several weeks looking at the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew, and if you will turn to that, please, to chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, and that can be found on page 971 of our church Bibles. Page 971. And here we've been considering in the previous weeks how Jesus condemns religious hypocrisy in the case of giving, prayer, and fasting. And now in the rest of chapter 6, Jesus goes on to consider what life within the kingdom of God is like. That is, what life is, practically speaking, like living under God's rule. But before I read from the scriptures and then proclaim them, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, you are our Lord. You are our Master. Everything belongs to you, and of your own do we give you. Grant now, during these minutes, that we understand your word, that we treasure your word, and above all, that we serve you, for Jesus' namesake. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, page 971 of our church Bibles. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the darkness within you, light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The other week here in church, we had a children's concert with Colin Buchanan, the Australian Christian singer who's very passionate about bringing the gospel to children. My little daughter Caris came and she thoroughly enjoyed it and was wowed by it. But of course, in recent weeks, Caris has also picked up in the news and the media about Michael Jackson. That Michael Jackson has died. And the question she's been asking me in recent weeks is, are you a Michael fan or are you a Colin fan? And she is very definitely a Colin fan. See, in her mind, there's a stark choice. It's either Michael Jackson or it's Colin Buchanan. But why not both? Why can't we enjoy both Michael Jackson and Colin Buchanan? After all, we have different loyalties in life, don't we? Some of us might be run companies and be employers. Others of us are employees. We have a loyalty to whom we work for. We are children. We have loyalties to our parents. Some of us are husbands. We have loyalty to our wives. Some of us are wives. We have loyalty to our husbands. Some of us are fathers. We have loyalty to our children. Some of us are mothers. And all of us have friends, and we're loyal to friends. We've got different loyalties in our lives, haven't we? And surely it is compatible to be a Christian, to be a churchgoer, to come to Christ Church, Virginia Water on Sunday, and to work hard during the week, say, in the City of London, or in whatever field we do, to enjoy your life, to enjoy your family, to enjoy your interests, to enjoy your pleasures, well, all these things surely can be combined into a rich and satisfying whole. Or can they? That is the stark challenge that the Lord Jesus Christ poses for us. And it is an exceptionally troubling and difficult passage to apply to our lives. It is very puzzling. And I've been wrestling with this passage all week, because on the face of it, it seems so odd. Have a look at it, and especially that key verse in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, says Jesus in his great sermon. But the question has to be, well, why, Jesus? Why not? Surely you can have two masters. You see, in those days, in Greek and Roman society, it was possible to have two masters. It was certainly possible. There are documented cases where if you're a slave, and if you're owned by someone, and that someone actually dies, then you have two different masters. If that first master, a father, has two sons, then you have two masters. It's quite possible. Jesus knew it was possible to have two masters. You can have them. So why? Why is it today we can't have two masters? Can't we be Christians? Can't we come along to church now and then? And can't we also have our work, our businesses, our pleasures, our families, our interests, and everything else to make a rich and satisfying and complex whole life? Why does Jesus think we cannot have two masters? Why can't we have two or more loyalties in our lives? Well, Jesus gives two clear answers to this difficult and troubling question. And the first answer is this: devotion is exclusive. Devotion is exclusive. And in the minutes I have before us tonight, I want to focus on verse 24, because that's the key to the passage. That is the verse that unlocks the passage and sheds light upon the rest of the passage. Have a look at that again. He says, asserts, no one can serve two masters. But then he goes on, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Now, in that Jewish culture, hate and love were basically things about choosing and not choosing. To love implies a choice. To love is to choose. To hate is not to choose, to be passed over. And to be devoted is to be loyal to hold firmly to, and to despise the other as well, to be indifferent, to be not passionate about the other, not value it. That's what he's talking about. And he's insisting that we can have only one consuming devotion in our life. We can have only one all-consuming passion in our lives. Either God or other things. We'll come on to that in a few minutes. But then at the beginning of this passage, he tells us about treasures. Have a look at that, please, verses 19 to 21. Do not, says Jesus, store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Again, that's very common in those days. In those days without banks, without safe deposit box, where did you keep your possessions? Where did you keep the things you liked, your beautiful clothes, the things you really loved? Well, you kept them in your house. And moth and rust could destroy, or more exactly, moth and the worm could destroy. Natural disasters could come. There could be dry rot in the house. There could be rising damp in the house. It could destroy all your property. And more than that, there could be human theft, where thieves break in and steal. Human beings could destroy everything you value and work for you just in a moment. There could be a burglary, and it could all be gone in a second. Rather, says Jesus, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. What is he talking about, treasures in heaven? Yes, it's relatively clear what he's talking about, treasures on earth. That is basically what we value in our lives. The physical things, the house, the clothes, our treasured possessions. Those sorts of things. But treasures in heaven, well, what does he mean by that? The Lord's Prayer, which we've prayed this evening, actually gives us the clue. Our Father in heaven, it goes. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That is, by sanctifying God's name, treating that great name, his character, his worth and value as the supreme thing, just as the angels are praising him on heaven, may he be praised on earth. Well, that is heavenly treasure, says Jesus. Your kingdom come, yes, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How God's rule is extended through his saving purposes, as is in heaven, as the Father has commanded the Lord Jesus Christ, so may it be on earth. Treasure in heaven. Your will be done. The angels in heaven always do God's will. May it be done on earth. In other words, spiritual things are the heavenly treasures. That's what he's talking about. And he's maintaining here, well, they will never rust away. The moth will never get to them. Thieves will never destroy them, for it is eternal. It is unshakable. It is guaranteed for you by God himself. And then Jesus has this little phrase in verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart means your real self, the real you. Well, what you are delighted in, what consumes you, what are you passionate about? Well, your whole life is wrapped up in that. Either treasures on earth or treasures above. That is what Jesus is talking about. Passion. Devotion, treasure. A great film of the late 1980s was the film Wall Street. I used to work in the city, so I was very fascinated to watch that film, Wall Street. And it is a very, very interesting film. In that film, there is a climactic, indeed an iconic moment, where the main character, Gordon Gekko, played by Michael Douglas, has a speech before the stockholders of New York in which he declares greed, for want of a better term, is good. Greed clarifies. But the most interesting thing about that extraordinary scene is when the shot turns round and all the investors break up and smile and start to cheer and applaud Gordon Gekko's statement, greed is good. For them, their stock values, the stock market, was where their treasure was. That's what delighted them. That's what made them passionate about. And that is precisely Jesus' point. The point is this. It's about our passions, our affections, our values, our loyalties, the all-consuming devotion and love of our lives. The main thing. It's what gets us up in the morning, what we think about, what we dream about, what we enjoy in our imaginations, the things we live for, what we're excited about. And is it the job? Is it the promotion? Is it that new house, that great holiday, sexual pleasure, having a good time, more clothes, parties, families, education? Getting into Oxbridge, getting that job after university. See, Jesus is not saying you can't use the things of God. Yes, of course, you can come to church. You can use God. You can drop in. But is it your all-consuming passion? That's his point, you see. Because where our treasure is, that's the real us, our all-consuming devotion and treasure. And Jesus says, all these earthly things, houses, money, pleasure, families, well, all of them will decay and collapse. And we know that very well, don't we, today? In the days of global recession, in the days of the darkness of the credit crunch, where stock values truly have collapsed, where house values have collapsed, where fear of redundancy stalks the land, it has decayed, hasn't it? It hasn't promised what we hoped it would, has it? And of course, what's the ultimate thing? Well, it's death itself, isn't it? I, as a minister, take many funerals. And at each and every one of them, well, the dead person, they can't take it with them, can they? It's all left behind. But, says Jesus, a passion for the holiness of God, a passion for work in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, a passion for the priority of the Bible and prayer, a passion for obedience to his will, well, those things will actually last forever, for they are heavenly values. They're spiritual values. That is true treasure in heaven. One of the most famous stories Jesus told in the Gospels, the biographies, the stories of his life, was of an encounter with a very rich man. Now, this very rich man was a very religious man. He went to the synagogue. He kept the commandments, he said. But then Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you lack. Give up all your possessions and come and follow me. And then, he says, you will have treasure in heaven. Now, what if Jesus this evening, I'm not saying he does, but what if Jesus this evening said, give it all up and come and follow me, and then you'll have real treasure in heaven. What would be our response? Something to think about. You see, because our passion, our love, and our treasure leads inevitably to service and obedience. And that is the second reason why we can't serve two masters. Service is exclusive. Service is exclusive. Have a look, please, once more at verse 24. The last line, the punchline, if you like, of Jesus' passage is this. You cannot serve both God and money. Or more precisely, in the old King James Version, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, mammon is not a Greek word. The New Testament was written in Greek. But Matthew leaves it in the ancient language that Jesus spoke, Aramaic. Why? Why not simply translate it into the normal Greek word? Precisely because he wants to underline it. This is something very serious and important. You see, mammon in the ancient Aramaic language stands for, yes, money, but also wealth, possessions, material stuff, the world as it is, what it offers. And Jesus said this mammon thing, well, it's like a competing god, a dark, enslaving power, an idol. Like Sauron in Lord of the Rings, he makes one ring to rule them all. He is the Dark Lord who enslaves, warns Jesus. You see, Jesus' point is not that you can't try to serve God and mammon or the world, but you can never succeed you can never succeed to serve both. Why not? Well, because God is the true and the living Creator. He is the Savior, the one who in Jesus Christ comes down to earth and takes our sins upon Himself and pays the penalty and the price. Well, mammon, what is that? It's lifeless. It's created. It cannot save. It might promise so much, but it cannot deliver. And you see, our devotion and our passion will lead to an all-consuming service. To be passionate, say, about our jobs or our money, or our families, or our education, or our success, or anything like that, well, you'll be trying your hardest to make that work. You'll be trying your hardest to get more and more money. You'll be trying your hardest to get that promotion. You'll be trying your hardest in these things. You'll be serving it, and so you'll be controlled by it. And so, yes, you might pay lip service to God, but in fact, you'll be serving this dark master. That is what Jesus means. And what's the consequence, says Jesus? Well, verse 23, he tells us, if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness, i.e., if you're focused on this mammon thing, if that's your singular passion in life, if that's what you're serving, well, you'll be full of darkness. And then Jesus marvels at this darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness of the dark Lord? You see, to come back to that film, Wall Street, in the film, there's a young, energetic, ambitious young man who's played by Charlie Sheen called Bud Fox. He wants this job at Wall Street. He's passionate. He will do anything to get that good job at Wall Street. He will work from the bottom. He'll work from morning till night to do well, to succeed. He will serve Wall Street. And he ends up serving Gordon Gekko. And he's corrupted by it. He's enslaved by it. He's addicted. That's precisely what happens. We know that, don't we, from addictions. Somebody who is an alcoholic is devoted to alcohol. But he's enslaved by alcohol. You see, that's the principle. Our great all-consuming passion in life, our dream, the big thing, well, we'll end up serving the big thing exclusively. So whether it's achievement or success is our passion, that ambition will enslave us. If it's money, then greed will take us over. If it's pleasure, then self-indulgence will corrupt us. Now, Jesus' point, and this is very important to understand, is not against riches in and of themselves. You see, Jesus does believe you can use riches, you can use your possession in the pursuit and the passion of heavenly treasure and serving God. That is precisely what that first reading from Deuteronomy is all about. The great confession of Israel. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and what? With all your strength. Or as the old Aramaic version put it, all your possessions. You can use your possessions in the love of God, but not the other way round. You cannot use God in the love of mammon. That is the challenge that Jesus poses to us. You see, greed is the secret idolatry. Because nobody can see into our hearts, can they? Nobody can see what we're consumed by, what is our ambition, what is our lust, what is our passion, what pushes us out of bed in the morning, whether it's work, whether it's study, or whether it's God Himself. A few years ago, there was a survey done of American churchgoers as to the sins they would own up to. And the Christians owned up to every sin in the book, except one, greed. Nobody said they were greedy. But you see, the shock here is this. It is very easy to live in luxury and to think that you can have God and heavenly treasure and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very easy to think, well, in the daytime I'll serve my work, at night time or the 15 minutes I have to pray, well, I'll serve God. It's very easy to think, well, I'll trot along to church every few weeks and God's going to be very pleased with me. But you see, that way you're not serving God, you're actually using Him. That is the serious thing. And let me apply it to myself. I'm a minister of the gospel. But that applies to me as well. It's even easier for me to think that I'm serving God and the Lord Jesus Christ when in fact I'm serving my own success or my own achievement, that I want to be a successful minister of the gospel. It's very easy for me to be fooled by it. But Jesus warns us that our service will reveal our true condition, light or darkness, the light of God or the darkness of mammon. So let me pose this question to all of us. Do we use God and serve the world? Or do we serve God and use the created things? Let me sum up then. You see, we think we can have our cake and eat it. We think we can have God and money, Christ and success, faith and pleasure. But Jesus says, no, you can't. Your passion in your life will end up enslaving you. You see, to come back to Karras's favourite pop artist, Colin Buchanan, one of his songs goes, "Trust, treasure, obey Jesus." That's actually a pretty good summary of this passage, isn't it? Trust, treasure, obey Jesus. Or as Jesus would himself put it, there is a stark and exclusive choice and loyalty to be made. Trust, treasure, and obey the world, or trust, treasure, and obey God. That's the choice. Let's pray. Gracious Father, the Lord Jesus Christ's works shatters our illusions and our comfortable existence, our pretenses and our things that we can have it all. We can have our cake and eat it. But may the Lord Jesus Christ's word shine a light into our hearts. May it reveal for us what our all-consuming passion is, where our treasure truly is, whom we are actually serving. Have mercy upon us, dear Father. Have mercy upon us. Release us from the passion and the idolatry of the things of this world. Release us from the enslavement and bondage to the dark master. And grant us the light of Jesus Christ, that we may be filled with a passion for heavenly treasure, and that we might serve you, the true and the living God, and be filled with the light of Christ. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.